Turn now to the scripture reading that I've chosen for this morning, the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 14. Now, as you know, if you've read the Proverbs, it's a variety of sayings, and there are, I found interestingly, and I will refer to two of these Proverbs in the morning message, that both of them are found in this particular chapter, and that is why I've chosen to read it, but to capture the context in which these truths are found, I'm going to read the whole entire chapter. If you're interested in the two verses that I'm referring to, one is verse 28 and the other is verse 34. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increases by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom, and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceive not in him the lips of knowledge. And as I read these various Proverbs, I'm just thinking that could all be, most of the ones I've already read could be applied in some way to the truth I want to bring forward this morning. Verse 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Excuse me, verse 20. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to him that devise good. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous shall have hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. Much truth in this chapter. May God help us understand it. You may be seated. How do you measure the consequences, plural, of one heinous decision? Ultimately, only the infinite wisdom and mind of the thrice holy, living, and true God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is able both to know what those consequences are and how to righteously deal with them. But can the consequences of one such heinous decision be illustrated? For before declaring why, I have no hesitation in calling this decision a heinous decision, and the most heinous decision made in this country's almost 240 years of existence. I want to take you on a journey to try and illustrate to you the consequences. Now what you will see, or I should more importantly say, I guess not see, what you will see on this journey is the result of this heinous decision made 40 years ago this coming Tuesday. Now this journey may not take you 40 years to complete, but it will take you many months, if not years, to fully experience in just one small way the impact of this horrendous decision. Now all the resources that you will need for this lengthy journey will be provided for you. Except you will go on this journey all alone. And maybe in some small way this lonely journey will help you experience how lonely all those affected by this one devil-spawned decision felt for a much shorter period of time. Now this lonely and lengthy trip will take you into every city, village, and town in Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey. But not just every city, village, and town in all these states, but as you go into all these various states and into all the cities and towns, you go into every one of the homes, every one of the apartments, every one of the condominiums, every one of the motels, every one of the hotels, every one of the hostels, every one of the nursing homes, every one of the hospitals and boarding houses, wherever anyone is able to live. So that's why I said it's going to take you a while. Now this journey, as I said, through all these states and all these abodes will not just take a lengthy period of time, but it will also be very lonely. How lonely? In all your travels to every one of these states and to every one of these dwelling places, you will not find a single living, breathing man, woman, boy or girl. You know what I've just illustrated? You know what I've just illustrated? The impact on this country in a very conservative number of the 40 years of the heinous, sinful, wrath-producing decision known as Roe versus Wade that was passed on January the 22nd, 1973. When the 9 Supreme Court injustices of this country decided that the 40 million plus American citizens of the womb since that heinous decision did not deserve any protection under the law of this land that is now stained, brethren, with 40 years. A generation, speaking biblically, of the unrequited blood of the innocent preborn. But not just the number of innocent lives legally, quote unquote, legally destroyed over the last 40 years, but dear brethren, how many potential lives? How many potential lives will never see the light of day because of those who would have been born If they had been left alone and spared the abortionist's legally protected tools and were allowed to be born, grow up, and father and mother children of their own. Now, is what I have just said easy? Far from it. Does what I have said tickle your ear? Like the number of false preachers that populate the airwaves of this nation? No. But dear brethren, in light of the sobering truth that this Tuesday is the 40th anniversary of the most heinous, horrible, and hell-driven decision, I thought it both right and appropriate to attempt in the next few moments to address this national sin. For righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14:34. And unless someone is willing to honestly and biblically face the 40-year sin of this nation with the hope that it may yet come to its senses and repent, God alone knows the sobering consequences that yet lay ahead for it due to this 40-year legally protected shedding of innocent blood. And the Lord of glory has given to His blood-bought church both the blessing and the responsibility of being both the salt of the earth and light of the world. Yet how many pseudo-churches and pseudo-leaders in the church will not even make mention of this heinous 40-year sin of this country because it's too controversial? And it might upset those listening to them. And after all, don't you know that the Patriots play again today? And they may get into another Super Bowl? Therefore, who has time to face the fact that over 40 million citizens of America have been denied life over the last 40 years? Simply because their residence that should have been a sanctuary to them became a mortuary. So my intention over the next few moments is to lay before you some biblical considerations in light of the 40 years of the shedding of innocent blood in the United States of America. Now, is this an easy message to give? No, dear brother. But when I realized, I just couldn't, Lord, you want me to just go continue through John in light of what this coming Tuesday is testified to in this country? I'd look at the text and I kept coming back to this truth, this sobering reality. Is this message easy to give? No. Is it necessary? Yes, I believe it is. For unless the church is willing to face the truth, this lost world never will. This lost world will never will. And the fact that pseudo-Christian America has had 40 years of the shedding of innocent blood should show anyone with a mind to think how compromised the church is and continues to be in this country. For let us be honest, the repeal of this hell-spawn decision is not even on the agenda of this second-term president who apparently is even being sworn into office today in a private ceremony. Even as he still has blood on his hands. And yet how many daring to name the name of Christ voted for him? How many would be offended at that statement? See, dear brethren, when I'm called to preach, I don't sit there and say, well, what's going to tickle the ears of those hearing me? If I wanted to do that, I'd go on the talk radio circuit. Not only is it not on the agenda of the one who is being sworn in apparently today into a second term But it is also not on the agenda, to my knowledge, of any state governor who has the authority under God to disregard and nullify Roe versus Wade in their state, showing that they have blood on their hands as well. Now, can I say with absolute, infallible certainty that difficult days are ahead for this country and world for its almost universal protection of the assault of children in the womb? No. Can't say that. Because God has not been pleased to reveal to me or anyone else what He has planned in His sovereign providence. Because, dear brethren, God may yet amaze us. Oh, that He would. God may yet amaze us and amaze this lost and wicked world with a true heaven-sent revival and bring millions who have blood on their hands due to their endorsement and indifference towards this most heinous of sins, the shedding of innocent blood through abortion, to true repentance and faith in His Son, the only one capable of forgiving and cleansing the soul of anyone supporting of, indifferent to this national and worldwide sin. Because, dear brethren, I know of no country with legislation declaring that child murder through abortion is the heinous crime it should be seen as by any right-thinking person, regardless of how that child was conceived, as I will show. But should God, in His amazing and sovereign mercy, not have a time of true revival and true reformation in store, but rather times of His sobering and righteous outworking? His sobering and righteous outworking of the consequences of this heinous 40-year sin. Should we be amazed? No. Or even His direct judgment? No. For the last thing anyone who correctly considers the fact that the Lord has given this nation 40 years. Think of it. The Lord has given this nation a generation. He has given this nation 40 years to overturn this heinous decision. And dear brethren, it's more entrenched. It's more taken for granted and even ignored. As seen in a recent survey which said that over 51% of young adults did not even know what Roe versus Wade is. Who's Justin Bieber? Everybody knows who Justin Bieber is. What's Roe versus Wade? Huh? But the interesting thing is that Justin Bieber's mother is producing an anti-abortion film. She knows the heinous nature of Roe versus Wade. It should not surprise anyone with ears to hear and eyes to see that the Lord could wake us up. He could wake us up in ways that will show this blood-stained nation that thinks it can shed innocent blood for 40 years without reaping some bitter fruit, that it is a very foolish and a very blind nation. But you might be saying, what right do I have, what right do you have to speak so clearly and pointedly to this heinous piece of judicial tyranny and sin? Why? Because I'm not basing what I'm about to say to you on the ever-changing ideas of fallen, infallible men, but the clear, repeated, unequivocal, infallible, and inerrant teaching of the written Word of God, the Holy Bible. But expand this message beyond those listening here. But I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe the Bible that is the written, infallible, and inerrant Word of God. Well, you know what? That's your problem. That's your problem. That's this nation's problem. And you're part of the problem. Because if you reject this fundamental truth, you have nothing to stand on. You have nothing to stand on except your own flawed and fallen reasoning ideas when it comes to facing the subject of this 40-year sin of abortion on demand in this country. For one of the most flawed and fallen ideas of anyone not seeing that 40 years of protected abortion is one of the clearest displays of the natural depravity of men his seed in abortion, the only greater display of the depravity of man was mankind's crucifixion of the Son of God. Because what does the Lord declare in His Bible? What does God declare in His written word, the Holy Bible? Have you ever heard, thou shalt not kill? Have you heard that? Thou shalt not kill? But what is abortion? It is the deliberate and premeditated killing of the most innocent of human beings, the child in the womb. But I don't believe that it's a child. Have you heard that? Have you ever heard that? I don't believe it's a child. Well, that simply testifies to the depravity of your thinking and rejection of both general and special revelation. For let a woman conceive a child, however that child is conceived, for she cannot conceive anything other than a child. And let that preborn child, whether it is a boy or girl, be extended the fullest protection of the laws as it should be, and assistance that can be offered to him or her in the womb as it should be, even to the point of having surgery performed on him or her in the womb as is now possible. What will happen at the end of that time unless cut short by the abortionist's tools? What will happen, dear brethren? Child will be born. What will happen to that child in the womb? He or she will be born, but let society suppress what their conscience, what the universal experience of mankind has shown, and what God's written word, the Bible, repeatedly declares, then killing this child becomes allowable. Even fully protected, as it has been. Can you imagine for 40 years in this country? But God is not mocked, and He has not been silent as to who has been salted and dismembered in their temporary residence of the womb with the full legal protection of this blood-stained country. For has God declared who is resident in the womb that has had open season proclaimed against it in this country over the last 40 years? Has He declared? Yes, He has. In numerous and in different ways. And I can just touch briefly on some of these, dear brethren. Why did the patriarch Jacob express anger towards his wife Rachel when she was envious that her sister conceived children and she could not? And she blamed Jacob. Because Jacob knew, as all mankind does, who are not rebelling and suppressing the truth of who it is that opens and closes the womb. God does. Genesis 30, verses 1 and 2. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Verse 2, and Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? God is the one who opens and closes the womb. And dear brethren, what phrase is used 26 times in the Authorized Version, the King James Version, to refer to a woman who is pregnant in the Bible? What's the term used? With child. With child. What was a result of Abraham lying with Hagar? Genesis 16:11, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael. What was the result of Job lying with his two daughters after they got him drunk on two different occasions? Genesis 19:36, thus were both daughters of Lot with child by their father. And it's interesting how God doesn't have any hesitation making reference to these difficult situations, because I'll return to them in a moment. What was the result of Judah not honoring his word and with Tamar taking things into her own hands so that he unknowingly laid with her, thinking that she was a prostitute? Genesis 38:24, and it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot, and also behold, she is with child by whoredom. What was to be done under the old covenant if a man assaulted a woman with child? Exodus 21 and verse
Exodus 21, verses 22 and 23, if men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. What is abortion but an assault on a woman with child that results in the death of that child? Why did the prophet Elisha weep in the presence of Hazael? 2 Kings 8, verse 12. And Hazael said, "Why weepeth my Lord?" And he answered, "Because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and will dash their children, and rip up their women with child." How many? Notice, Elisha, what's Elisha doing here? Because as God shows him what this evil king is going to do, what's he doing? He's weeping. How many have not shed a single tear? How many have not shed a single tear over the 40 million plus children ripped from the woman with child over the last 40 years, especially the current commander-in-chief, who sheds hypocritical tears for those children cut down in Connecticut because it fits into his agenda, but not one tear shed for the over 40 million plus lives terminated with his full voting approval. Not to mention the untold number of children, both in the womb and cut down by his indiscriminate and ongoing drone attacks in the Middle East. For what does Solomon declare in the infallible wisdom given to him by God about who is in and what is happening in the womb? Ecclesiastes 11:5, "As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all." God's knitting that child together in the womb of its mother. And this country says the abortionist can go in and rip that knitting apart. Why did the Lord through Amos say that he would not turn back his punishment on the people of Amnon? Amos 1:13, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Amnon, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border." Oh, so a few drone attacks take out a few women with children in Iraq and Afghanistan. We have to ensure that the oil and precious metals in those countries are available to us in the anti-Christian West. Who knows better than anyone else who is residing in the womb? The God who creates every child in the womb. For what does the Lord say to Jeremiah? Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." What did David declare, the man after God's own heart, who interestingly did not use the sin and crime of abortion to try and cover up his adultery with Bathsheba? I find that very interesting. Because he knew where life began. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." But then I hear a problem. And sadly, there are even those who profess to be Christian who will raise this problem. Well, the problem is you're only using the Old Testament. I follow Jesus. Well, what is the answer to this fundamental question? Are you following Jesus? Well, what is said of the one who would be the mother of the Savior of the world?
What is said of the one who would be the mother of the Savior of the world? The one who would take his humanity into union with his deity. Matthew 1:23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. For when did the deity of Christ take sinless humanity into union with his deity, dear brethren? In the womb of Mary the Virgin, from the moment of conception by the Holy Spirit. God not only testifies in His Word written when life begins in the womb, but He also testifies in the Word incarnate when human life begins by taking it into union with Himself in the womb of Mary the Virgin. And think of this horrible thought. Had Mary not submitted to the Lord for her life, trusting that He'd work out all the challenges that He presented her with, and given in to the demonic spirit that has blinded the eyes of Americans for 40 years, she could have killed the Savior of the world right up till full term in the womb with the full legal protection of this country. Dear brethren, innocent blood has been shed in this country for 40 years because the clear and repeated testimony of the written Word of God, the Holy Bible, is that human life begins at conception, and when a woman is pregnant, she is with child, and the clear witness after 9 months is that a child is born unless it is killed, as over 40 million have been in this country over the last 40 years. Now, then I hear someone say, I'm opposed to abortion, except in the hard cases of rape and incest. But dear brethren, the Bible makes more than one reference to children being conceived in sinful ways, and those sinful ways do not justify the taking of that innocent life that has been conceived. Because incest and rape are sins against a woman. But this sin does not give the woman who is now with child the right to kill that child. The conceived child is innocent. And the Bible is crystal clear that a child is not to be put to death for the sin of the father, for the sin of the parent. Deuteronomy 24:16, the father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. How a child is conceived may have been sinful. Often it is. But being conceived sinfully is not sin. And that sinfully conceived child is innocent and is worthy of the full 100% protection of the law. Not the full lack of protection of the law, even by those who dare say they are Christian and believe that killing an innocent child is justified in the cases of rape or incest. What warped times we are in, dear brethren. What warped times we live in when those who profess to be Christian call one of the clearest demonstrations of injustice, namely the killing of an innocent child for the sin of his father, justified. What warped thinking! There exists. Oh, but then, there you go, bringing in the Bible again. Exactly. Exactly, dear brother. And I said this before, you know I have. I said this to you many times. If I didn't have the Bible, I wouldn't be speaking to you. I have nothing to say to you if I don't have the Bible to support what I'm saying. That's why I've said many times, I am amazed how people can talk on the airwaves about various things for 20, 30, 40, 2, 3 hours, and they never make reference to the Scriptures or the truth of the Word. It absolutely might. It blows me away. Because my only source of truth in this lost and warped world we live in is the Scriptures. Yes, there I go again, bringing in the Bible, exactly. Because if you don't base your thinking
about the heinous crime and sin of abortion in all cases on what the Bible infallibly teaches, then you know what you're left with? You know what you're left with? Just your fallible personal opinion. That's all you're left with. All you're left with is your fallible personal opinion, or worse, the fallible opinion of the mob or the majority. So what? The majority of Supreme Court injustices decided that a woman could kill her offspring 40 years ago, right up to full term. So what? So what that this devil-conceived decision has continued to be upheld by the present Supreme Court injustices? So what if an individual woman or a majority of men and women say that abortion is allowable and acceptable? The sin and crime of abortion does not stop being a sin and crime by personal opinion, the majority opinion of corrupt justices, or a majority of blind Americans. You could get 99.99% of Americans to say that abortion is acceptable, and that would not make it right. You had better be one of the ones who is standing and saying it's wrong. You have seen 40 years of what the Bible declares is God giving people over to a reprobate mind and thinking for what is just one of the things that Paul declares is evidence of this being given over by God. Romans 1:31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. That's a sign of being given over to a wicked, reprobate mind, without natural affection. And dear brethren, it would be perfectly legitimate for God to raise up the emperor penguins on judgment day to testify to a generation of men and women who have shown by their support of abortion that they have been given over to a reprobate mind with respect to natural affection, when one considers what these penguins in Antarctica will go through, both male and female, to provide for and protect their young. A woman who has been assaulted and it results in her being with child has to assault and suppress her natural God-given instincts to buy into the lie that abortion will solve her problem. They have to sear their conscience in the truth of what their body is telling them. What is their body telling them? That they're with child. A child who has not sinned. He or she has only been conceived. They have to suppress the truth. Truth that many have faced after Planned Parenthood has received its blood money, and they no longer are concerned with that woman's physical, emotional, or spiritual scars left for this mother who has killed her child has to deal with. Scars that can only be forgiven and healed in the saving gospel. I wouldn't preach this message, dear brethren, if I didn't have the saving gospel of Christ, because outside of the saving gospel of Christ, there is no solution to the problem of abortion, to the sin of abortion. But dear brethren, let us be painfully honest. The majority of the over 40 million abortions in this country over the last 40 years have not been due to rape or incest. How many have been to cover up the sins of fornication or adultery? It has become an acceptable means, not of birth control, but of conception termination. But what does our Lord say? He who conceals his sins will not prosper. She who conceals her sin will not prosper, especially if they try and conceal it by killing an innocent child. But he or she who confesses and forsakes that sin will have mercy. How many women over the last 40 years are addicted to drugs or alcohol because they're trying to suppress the guilt they are under and should feel over having had an abortion? Every woman who has had an abortion should feel guilty, because you killed an innocent child. How many women are on antidepressant drugs as they labor to suppress their true guilty consciences because of an abortion? Dear brethren, all the antidepressant drugs in the world cannot deal with the sin of abortion. Only the saving gospel of Christ can and does. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dear brethren, the only thing powerful enough to cleanse the guilty souls of those who have had an abortion, to those who have supported abortion, to those who see nothing wrong with abortion, to those who are not grieved that this Tuesday is the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, is the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing. But the blood of Jesus. What can make me pure within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The saving gospel of Christ is the only hope for this nation polluted with 40 years of the shedding of innocent blood. But how many will face this truth? How many will face this truth and know the cleansing and forgiveness found only in Christ? How many will continue to support the pseudo-rights of a mother to kill her innocent child, thus further exposing themselves and this nation to the just judgment of God? How many will continue to look for answers to the guilt they feel for having had performed, supported, or condoned abortion for the last 40 years anywhere else than confessing and forsaking these sins and finding forgiveness for them the only place possible in the saving gospel? Dear brethren, are you amazed that this country still stands? Are you amazed that this country still stands after 40 years of protecting the killing of over 40 million, not just Americans, but unique creations of God? You should be. Will you be amazed if things become increasingly more difficult for this country? You shouldn't be. Proverbs 14:28, in the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the wants of people is the destruction of the prince. Dear brethren, how many of the problems that this country is facing and this world is facing will never be solved because the ones who could have solved them were killed in the womb or prevented from having children that would have solved them? Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. This country has legally protected the destruction of its most defenseless citizens for 40 years. Should we be surprised at how close it is to destruction? Economically? Or any other way? Are you grieving for the almost universal saltlessness of the church in this country? How many preachers have never preached a message exposing the heinous sin of this nation that has gone on for 40 years and calling for repentance? And pointing to the only solution to such an ocean of unrequited blood. How many elected officials have not been disciplined and, if necessary, excommunicated for their voting record on abortion? Every elected official, regardless of who he or she is, should be immediately excommunicated from any church they are a part of if their voting record has shown that they have supported the ongoing killing of American citizens in the womb unless they repent and do works befitting that repentance, meaning laboring to see Roe versus Wade overturned. Let me get this right. You mean excommunicate a senator? Excommunicate a congressman? Excommunicate a governor? Or even the president if they were aligned with our church but supported abortion? Exactly. Every congressman, senator, governor who dares to align himself in some way with the visible Church of Christ and supports abortion should be excommunicated. One of the reasons the church has been and continues to be ignored in this country over the last 40 years is that it has not had a universal voice. Should there be any question? Should the church have any question, any doubt about the sin of abortion?
Absolutely not. And yet I know, sadly, there are places that dare name the name of Christ that will support a woman's right to kill her offspring. But if the church had such a voice, it would lose its tax-exempt status. Oh. So the love of money is more important to you than the love of innocent children. Oh, are you confessing the guilt of the church in this country like Daniel confessed his guilt and the guilt of his nation? For how many who profess to be Christian have voted for leaders who are not fully and without reservation for the full protection of the child in the womb from conception to birth, the blood that is on every past and present president who has not made the overturning of Roe versus Wade the center point of their leadership is also on the hands of everyone who has voted to put them in office as well, unless they repent and do works befitting repentance, meaning never voting for another person who is not 100% for the protection of children in the womb from conception to birth, regardless of how they are conceived and what birth challenges they may be born with. This is the most important issue facing this country. And how often will you hear about it between now and Tuesday? I saw more people talking about that stupid football game than about the fact that 40 years of Roe versus Wade is about to pass in this country. What did Peter declare in 1 Peter 4:17? For the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? What judgment and chastisement will the church in America have to endure because of its less than universal opposition to abortion over the last 40 years? Are you confessing the guilt and sin of this country before the Lord and not displaying idolatry by thinking that this country can do no wrong despite 40 years of blood guilt? Are you standing in the gap? Don't dishonor the holiness of God by saying, God bless America. Are you praying, God, I can't lift up my head, for I live in a country that has for 40 years shed innocent blood and is giving no evidence that it intends to stop that flow? Lord, have mercy on America. But how can you have mercy on 40 years of ongoing sin? Can I dare ask, Lord, is it even possible? Is it even possible? Because what did you say because of the innocent blood that Manasseh shed? 2 Kings 24:3, surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, namely its destruction by the armies of Babylon, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did. And what did he do? 2 Kings 24, verse 4, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Does that cause you to tremble? Because Manasseh was just one king. Manasseh was just one king. How many governors and senators and congressmen and presidents have we had that have done nothing to stem this 40-year flow of innocent blood? And God says that He wouldn't forgive because of one king. Proverbs 28 verse 2, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. Is the size of government in this country not testimony to the magnitude of its transgression before God? Lord, I pray for revival. You and I should be praying for revival. I pray for mercy. But I have to be honest, when I consider what your word says, at times I honestly say, is it even possible? You ever ask that question? I know God's grace is amazing, but you wonder at times, has America sinned away grace? Has America sinned away grace by 40 years? Not 1 year, not 2 years, not even 10, not even 20, not even 30, but 40 years. Of the unrequited blood of the innocent unborn. Are the politicians listening? Are the politicians listening to that blood that's crying out from the ground?
Is the medical community listening
to that blood that's crying out from the ground? Is the church listening to that blood that's crying out from the ground? How many even in the church dare to think that the droughts and disasters this country has been facing with increasing frequency is due to the blood that stains the land? Because what did the Lord say through Ezekiel? Ezekiel 14:13, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Dear brethren, what is 40 years of abortion if not grievous trespass against the Lord? But Lord, I thank you. I thank you that anyone who faces their personal guilt in the sin of abortion can find cleansing and forgiveness in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, even the sin of having performed or supported abortion. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just. But dear brethren, what hope is there for an individual with the blood of abortion on their hands who will not admit their sin? Oh, Lord, bring conviction. Bring conviction before your just judgment. Have mercy on those who think that there are exceptions, as you already have. Have mercy on those who have voted for the blood-shedding politicians, as you have already have. Have mercy on those who listen to their lying hearts and the lying counsel of others and have shed the blood of their own offspring, as you already have. Bring the president to repentance over his hands that are stained with blood. Bring the governors of all the states whose hands are stained with blood to repentance. Bring every preacher and pastor to repentance whose hands are stained with blood, who have never preached on the national sin of abortion. Bring every confessing Christian to repentance over listening to the lies of this demonically deceived country rather than the clear teaching of the Bible. Lord, if you do not bless this blood-stained country with true heaven-sent revival and repentance for its sin of 40 years of abortion, it will not survive. It cannot survive. Dare I say, it does not deserve to survive. Dear brethren, the death knell of this country was sounded 40 years ago, and it has grown louder and louder and louder over the last 40 years of abortion. Will we have the wisdom to acknowledge your sovereign hand in whatever lies ahead for this country? But what will lie ahead for it? What will lie ahead for it if the flow of innocent blood is not stopped? Because, dear brethren, think of it. After Tuesday, we are entering the 41st year. After Tuesday, we are entering the 41st year of the protected assault and killing of children in America. Oh, Lord. We want to stand in the gap. We want you to hear our prayer. Save the president, Lord. Save the president. Deliver him from his blood guiltiness. Lord, save the governors and senators in this union. Deliver them from their blood guiltiness. Lord, save the abortion doctors. Deliver them from the blood that stains their hands. Lord, save the mothers who have killed their children through abortion. Deliver them from their blood guiltiness and enable them to find the forgiveness that can be found in the saving gospel of Christ. Lord, save the fathers who have supported and encouraged the killing of their own children. Deliver them from their blood guilt. Lord, save your church. Deliver it from its blood guiltiness for not having a united voice against this flow of innocent blood for the last 40 years. Oh, Lord, give the biblical and saving gospel of your beloved Son back to the church in America, that it might be used of you to stop the 40 years of innocent blood that began to flow on January 22nd, 1973, when the most heinous decision known as Roe versus Wade was decided. And oh, Lord, may this year be the year it comes to an end. Let us pray.